Let's turn to 2 Peter tonight. And I'm a little bit conscious of the time, so whatever kind of insurance that will give you. We've been talking about false teachers. Identifying false teachers and how significant and helpful it is to be able to go to the Bible and see that God has clearly identified them, identified who they are, their characteristics. We can see very clearly that the day in which we are living, they are abounding with false prophets, false teachers. We recognize that the false teachers here in the Bible are lost. They're on their way to hell. They're not saved. They're truly Christ deniers. But we do need to realize that new evangelicalism is a subtle form of the same thing. New evangelicalism is a subtle form of liberalism. And so all the characteristics of false teachers and those apostates apply to false teachers. As we look at the Bible, we were reminded of what we looked at last week as we were in verse 15. And we were reminded that false teachers, it says, have forsaken the right way. They've forsaken the right way. They have gone the wrong way. And they know what is right. And they have chosen to go the opposite direction. You know, false teachers are not innocent. They're not ignorant. They purposely go the wrong way. And we live in a day in which it is the common characteristic of society to leave the right way and go the wrong way. And they're led by spiritual leaders. Notice it says these false teachers their motive is gain. It says they are like Balaam, the prophet of Balaam, who loved the wages of righteousness. And they'll not tell the truth because it might cause them a loss. They aren't going to preach the Bible because they're afraid that they might lose people. And so their real motive is to get people and get gain. And so they only preach the part of the Bible that will get and capture people and to make sure that they have a crowd. Notice it says, verse 17, they are wells without water. They have a false appearance. They appear to offer something, but they don't really offer anything. And notice as well, we looked at it says they allure through the lust of the flesh. They allure through the lust of the flesh. Their ministry is aimed at the flesh. Their music is aimed at the flesh. Their preaching is aimed at fleshly living. And we're going to see that over and over. And it's not what the Bible says. It's what people want to hear. How they want to live, not what God says. We're going to look at a few things, other things about the false teachers tonight, and we'll try to make it as straightforward as possible. Notice it says, verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they speak great swelling words of vanity. And they have these big things to say that are just plain empty. They're very brash. They're very bold. They say huge statements, great swelling words. Listen to this Mark Driscoll. He's the pastor, I guess he's deposed right now, the pastor of Mars Hill, but he's a pretty famous emerging church pastor. And just think of these great swelling words. It says, you are free in Christ to be weird. How about this one? This is actual sermon. Tattoos. How many of you grew up in that fundamentalist church where they told you about the one verse on tattoos? Where is it? What book? Leviticus. Are these dudes in the front are twitching, whatever that means. Dudes with tattoos. Leviticus. Because a youth pastor said, don't get a tattoo. It's right here. Don't get a tattoo. It's right here in Leviticus. Don't get a tattoo. Okay. But the thing is, if you read the whole context, it actually doesn't apply. The old covenant, not the new covenant. So Jesus has fulfilled the law. Additionally, it's talking about a priest making their body, thereby identifying, tattooing, marking their body, therefore identifying themselves with paganism. So I don't think it really applies. You can disagree with me, that's fine. Let me just say, our position is this. Tattoos are not a sin, right? Jesus is going to have a tattoo. Revelation says on his second coming, it says that down his right leg will be written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which will be really freakish for all those fundamentalists to see. Jesus all tattooed up. I can't wait for that day. Make sure you go to a good tattoo parlor. Two of the best in Seattle are actually members of Mars Hill. Go in there for a biblical new covenant tattoo. It's what we would recommend. Well, of course, the Bible tells us that Jesus will not be all tattooed up. That's blasphemy. The Bible says that Jesus will have writ on his vesture, on his clothing, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But you know, these are the great swelling words of the false teachers. And they're out there in the multitudes mocking righteousness, mocking God, mocking the God of the Bible, mocking truth. And the Bible says that the false teachers have great swelling words. Notice as well, and we can get back there someday. It says, verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. They have a false message of liberty. If you listen to the words of Mark Driscoll, he's talking about, you're free! Free to do what? Free to come under the bondage of sin, that's what. You're free to do this, free to do that. Let's see if I can get this other little quote here about what he has to say. It's very interesting. I guess I won't get it, but you know, he talks about, oh, it's fine to drink alcohol. It's fine to go to the movies. It's fine to do all these things. And so he has a message, a false message. A message of liberty, but is really a message of bondage. Free to go to movies, free to fill your mind with the godless thinking of a godless world, free to fill your mind with pornographic images that you can never get out again, free to fill your mind with false images of what happiness is and what fulfillment is, all these... Oh, you're free to come. That's what he says. Be free. What he's really saying is get into bondage. And let these things of the world become your your master. Romans chapter 6. It says this. Know ye not, verse 16, that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. A false message of liberty that really brings bondage. Jude, verse 1, tells us of the false teachers. Verse 5, have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. They've turned the power of the resurrected Holy Son of God, the power to say no to sin, the power to live above sin, the power to live a righteous life. They've turned that grace into sensuality. Live a life of sensuality. Feed the flesh. They have a false message. Notice it says, excuse me, well, they promised them liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption. You know, I was thinking about the liberals. You know, the liberals brought in the feminist movement. And they say, you know, all you women, you need to get free. You need to get free from obeying your husbands. You need to get free to pursue a career. Leave the house. Leave raising the children. Don't be in bondage. Yeah. Work your tail off out in the world for a few cents. Lose your kids to the world. Live with regrets the rest of your life because you couldn't invest in your children. Is that freedom? No, that's not freedom. The false message. It's a return to, notice, they're saying through Christ there's freedom, but actually is a return to bondage and worldly lusts. It says, verse 24, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. Now I'm going to say this. These false prophets are not people who are ignorant. These false prophets are people, and most of them have heard the Bible. And they've heard the message of Jesus Christ. And they've heard the message of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. But they've rejected it. They've rejected it. And they are promoters of worldly, fleshly living. They have returned to bondage and worldly lusts. It has, as it has said, it says that, verse 20, for they had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. They have made a definite decision to reject the truth of the Bible. Definite decision. Doesn't matter where it starts somewhere. Where they make a definite decision. I know a fellow that's a false prophet, has the spirit of false prophet. And I remember the day he telling me, Ron, you know, I used to believe like you. that the Bible teaches no cause for divorce. But it says, you know, I've studied the Bible now, and I know better. There's a cause for divorce. That is the beginning of the path. He made a definite decision to reject what the Bible said about one specific truth. He knew that it would make a huge difference in the multiplying of his ministry. And I can't tell you how far he's gone from there. Start somewhere. Rejecting the truth. Very dangerous thing. Timothy says, holding a good conscience. Holding a good conscience. And when people start going against their conscience, they start going against what they have been taught as truth and rejecting it, there is no end to where that path leads. Notice, it says, it says, verse 20, for if they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, that latter end is worse with them than the beginning. It has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. And the Bible is saying the sureness of the judgment of false teachers. The sureness of judgment. And that the latter end of them is far worse than even they were before they made some kind of profession of faith in Christ. It's amazing how we live in a day in which it is just abounding out there. It's abounding. And a departure. A wandering from the truth. And when you wander from the truth, you wander from the foundation of God's Word, there is no end to where you'll go. False teachers. It would be a sad thing to think that somebody in these halls who's heard the truth had the opportunity to get saved, but never did, professed to, but never did, will be the likes of Mark Driscoll, mocking the truth. Great swelling words, promoting worldly living in the name of God. And yet, that's exactly what the Bible says. You know, thank the Lord, conversion can be real. And when you're converted, you become a new creature. You've been born again. Spirit of God lives in you. Holy Spirit is your teacher. And not saying that you can't fall, but you can only go so far. You only can go so far. But when a person is saved, not saved, they can know all the lingo. And that makes them sound more convincing, doesn't it? They know all the lingo. But they never were converted. And so to them, the Bible is restrictive. To them, the Bible is, man, rules and regulations. The Bible is, oh, all a bunch of stuff. I want to get free of it. But when you're saved, the Bible is God's word. The Bible reveals the God of heaven. Whether it's the New Testament or Old Testament, the God of the Bible is revealed by that book. Amen? When you get saved, you get a new heart. You get a heart to obey that book. Oh, it doesn't mean it's easy. But you know it's the truth. And you know that you need to obey it. And thank God, God gives you within the heart to obey it. But false teachers aren't like that. They've never been converted. They went to Sunday school, they went to church. They might even walk an aisle, but they've never been converted. And they take all that knowledge and they twist it and they turn it against God and the Christian living. And they promote that which is the opposite in the name of Jesus Christ. Very serious days we live in. Very serious days. It's important that we are discerning people. It's important that we are discerning people. Because these false teachers are just looking for people to pounce on and draw them astray from the truth. We need to be people of discernment. We need to be close to the Lord. And we need to be living right. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for the great blessing that we can know you, we can know the truth. We have the Holy Spirit in us when we're saved. And Lord, we know the difference between a false teacher and a man of God. And Lord, now I pray that you would help us to be discerning people in these days. As there are many young people who are reading about these people and listening to them and being affected by them. Yea, even adults, even college professors. And Lord, instead of giving freedom, which they promise, they bring people back to the world. Into the bondage of the world, into the flesh and the lust of the world. Oh God, help us, Lord, even tonight to determine that we will not say no to the Bible, even when we know that it may cost us something. It will be the harder way, so to speak. It will cause us to have to deny ourselves and have faith. Lord, help us to be faithful to you in these days. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. The Lord is speaking to your heart even tonight. And you say, you know, the Lord is really impressing upon my heart that I need to be close to the Lord. I ought not to let things get in my life that will sear my conscience and take me away from walking close to the Lord. And God is speaking to your heart tonight about those little things that you've been tempted to compromise about, but yet could lead you completely down the wrong road. The Spirit of God is speaking to your heart and saying, Pastor, God spoke to my heart about staying true to God and obeying Him, no matter if it might cost me something. And to say yes to God, and not look for the easy way. And you say, Pastor, pray with me. God has spoken my heart tonight about staying on the straight and narrow. And that's an important decision, okay? Praise the Lord for young people, for adults. Amen. All right. Amen. Others. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, you know, Pastor, I can tell that the most important thing in life is to get converted. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, you can have religion and not be converted. You could be a Baptist and not be converted. And you'd be just perfect prey for false teachers. But you're here tonight and you realize the Lord has been working in your heart. You're not saved. You need to be saved. Christ died for you. He loves you. He wants to give you a new heart, a new soul, a wonderful life, but also freedom from sin. And he wants to save you. And you say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I know it. And I'd like you to pray for me. I need to be saved. Just pray that God will work in my life, that I'll come to that place very soon, that I'll trust Christ as my Savior. Anyone here tonight? Okay? Thank the Lord for that little hand. Anyone else? Okay? Anyone else? God has been to your heart. Okay, I see that hand. How about you? God is working in your heart. Okay, I see that little hand as well. Okay, amen. Okay, anyone else? Lord, I thank you that you are a great God. Thank you for speaking to hearts, even tonight. And Lord, might you give great victory, even tonight, Lord, in different lives, different decisions. And Lord, we pray now that you would also work in the hearts of these little ones and others who need to be saved. And Lord, show them their sin. Show them their need of a Savior. Show them Christ and his love for them. Give them faith to trust him and him alone. Bless the invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen.